on today's Tech Help for Churches, Bitrate, Sample Rate, Codex, and iTunes for your church podcast. Hi everyone, that was the wrong theme, and I'll try and figure out what's going on there in just a moment. But first, I welcome you to Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I am your host, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact, and there you can leave questions, comments, etc. I'm going through a series based on my first book, Podcasting Church, and we're going to talk about all kinds of fun stuff about the down and dirty nitty-gritty of encoding in just a minute. But first, I do want to encourage you, if you've got any questions, comments, if you disagree with what I'm saying, please let me know and we can discuss it. And I don't know everything, so it's possible that I've gotten some detail wrong, and we can clarify, and everybody's happy. So head on over there, or leave a comment below in the comments, whether you're watching this on YouTube or over at trinitydigitalmedia.com. You can also give me a call, 1-877-763-3246. 1-877-POD-ECHO is a good way to reach me as well. Or you can send me a message at over on Twitter, Paul Allen Cliff, PaulAllanCliff, and that would be something that you can do as well. So there's a lot of jargon surrounding podcasting, and I hope to break this down. I've talked in the past about RSS feeds. Remember, they're kind of like a text message from your spouse telling you what to pick up at the store. Only in this case, the RSS feed is it's code, and instead of sent from your spouse to you, it's sent from the podcast to your computer. And your computer, in this analogy, is you. And so it picks up what is missing from the list. So that's what an RSS feed, we've talked about that before. That's what that is. Well, you might be wondering, this sample rate encoding rate stuff, what's that? Ah, there I can help you. So what I want you to think of is, first off, analog signal processing, recording, etc. Those things are analogies, analog, analogy. I don't know if that's officially where they got the term, but think of it that way. a VHS tape, for example, has a magnetic wave recorded to it that is used to simulate the wave of the electromagnetic spectrum that is produced by the television. So the TV sees, or the VCR sees that wave and then translates that into something visual. That's analog. Digital is different. Digital takes samples, so they never get 100% of the information. It's always samples. Now, when you're making a recording with different samples, how often you take a sample matters. I mean, we're not talking about a still image. We're not talking about a text document that doesn't change over time. We're talking about one piece of information that's transient in nature. It was just a fly going past my face, in case you're watching the video. If you're not, you missed that, and I just made it obvious. Mistake on my part. Anyway, so let's say that in a certain second, You might think, well, not a lot happens in a second. Well, kind of. It's kind of the way that not a lot happens in a second, but if you only take a little bit of a sample of what happens in a second, you're not going to get as faithful a reproduction as if you take a larger sample of what happens. So, sample rate is measured in hertz, and hertz is how many times a second do you do this. So, for example, in the U.S., our electricity cycles at 60 hertz. That means there are 60 waves of alternating current that go by in a single second. When it comes to the sample rate for an MP3 or a video file, how many samples do you take in a second? Now, normally this is measured in kilohertz, and if you're on the metric system, you know kilo, K-I-L-O, is 1,000, whereas hertz is cycles per second. So we're talking about, kind of think of this like RPMs on your car, how many revolutions per minute, and that's usually measured in so many thousand. So it doesn't tell you, oh, you're driving at 4,322 revolutions per minute. Your car will say, oh, 3,000 RPM, 3,500 RPM. That's close enough. You don't need to know exactly. So when it comes to your sample rate, this is measured in kilohertz, how many thousand samples per second you can take. Now that can be a wide range, but the lower the number, the less accurate a reproduction you're going to get. So think of it as if you are sampling at 8,000 hertz or 8 kilohertz, you're not going to get as accurate a reproduction as if you're sampling at 48 kilohertz. Now, you might be thinking, well, so what's a CD? A CD is 44,100. I don't know why that number. I don't know why it's 44,100. But 44,100 samples a second of the music is considered a near-perfect copy. So, what should you do for your podcast? Well, I don't think I would go as low as 8, and I don't think I would go as high as 48 kilohertz or better, although you could. It's just going to give you a much larger file than you need. Primarily, podcasts tend to be spoken word. And if it's spoken word, you don't need as much quality to get a good reproduction. So I think I would start, just from the standpoint of saving money, start at some multiple of 44.1. And I guess I should have actually said divisor of 44.1. 44.1 being CD quality. Well, we don't need that much. You know, you don't need to hear every last detail of a person's spoken word. So I think what I normally do is I do half that, 22,050 samples per second. Now, the reason I do that particular multiple or divisor is that a lot of podcast clients that are on web pages are set up for something that can be divided or multiplied to receive 44.1 as the final product. So if you start with 48 kilohertz, some of these podcast players will give you squirrely results. So you don't want to start with 48 kilohertz, even though if you're recording a digital video signal or something like that, sometimes that works fine when you're recording, but when you're outputting, I'd steer clear of that. So what I use is 22, 050, 22,050 samples per second, or 22.05 kilohertz. And that's a good starting point. Now, I also output that in mono. And when you're outputting a signal in mono, you don't need as much information as when you're doing true stereo. Now, I'm not talking dual mono, where it's the same on both sides. A stereo recording is actually two separate things, one recorded for the right channel and one recorded for the left channel, and they should be slightly different. So for spoken word, you know, you don't need to hear the guitar on one side of the stage and the drums on the other side of the stage like you would in a stereo reproduction. In fact, it can be very annoying if you're having two people talking and one of them is in one ear and one is in the other. Because think of how people are listening. Maybe they're at work and they've only got one earbud in so that they could hear if someone comes up, but they just generally want to be distracted while they're working on something else. Or what if their car stereo, that one speaker doesn't so much work, so I've panned it over to the other side. So mono is actually a better way of delivering that information. So that is what the sample rate is, how often you take the sample. Bit rate is how large the sample is. So again, let's think of it this way. If you take a sample of something and you're taking enough samples, that's half of the equation, but how large is the sample? If it's everything, you're going to get a perfect reproduction. If it's half, it's not going to be as good, but maybe people aren't going to notice all that much. But if the sample size that you take is itty-bitty minuscule, let's say you take a bunch of samples, but you only take like one pixel of a video image, for example, or one piece of the sound wave, for example, you're not going to get much of anything. So the larger the sample size, that matters too. So it's not only how often you take a sample, but how large the sample is. Dave Jackson at schoolofpodcasting.com imagines it like the amount of paint on a paintbrush. If you use an adequate amount of paint, you're going to get a better painting, better coverage, than if you use not enough. So you want to take a large enough sample in your bit rate, but not too large. So you can absolutely go too big on that as well, and I'm blanking on what the numbers are. So again, you can take a 48 kilo. Yeah, you could do a 48 kilobit per second sample rate, but that's not going to give you as good quality as if you do 96. So just as I do a 22.050 kilohertz sample rate, the bit rate I choose is 96 kilobits per second. So the size really matters here, and you don't want to go, again, you want it to be a divisor of that number. So you could do a 32 kilobit per second sample rate, but that's not going to give you as faithful a reproduction. You could do a 192 kilobit per second, and that's probably more than you need for a spoken word podcast. So 96 kilobits per second is probably a good average. Now, there's another setting in iTunes, and my thinking on this has changed a little bit. that you can imagine that you always constantly take the same amount of information. But when there's silence like there just was, why do you need to take as much information? So there is something called variable bitrate, which intelligently tries to figure out, hey, silence there, I'm not going to take as much, versus, hey, there's a big discussion, lots of audio is going on, I need to take as much as possible. Now, that can yield a smaller file size, but it's not a huge difference. And as Rob Walsh at Libsyn points out, some players don't deal well with that. So you're risking a problem with playback for almost no gain. So what he says is VBR, variable bitrate, bad, CBR, constant bitrate, good. Now, what I want you to take away from that is, since you're not gaining anything, or not much of anything, with variable bitrate, and these days, almost everyone has enough bandwidth, so you're not even really helping your audience all that much. But you are risking that when they play it back, it's not going to play back right. You should figure out, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have some of my audience play this and say, wow, he sounds like Mickey Mouse, what's that about? And other people to listen and go, wow, it sounds all slow and yucky, what's that about? No, you don't want to do that. So these things are, I guess, part of the equation. Should you go with variable bitrate? I'd say today, no real advantage to it. I do think that it is more standard to be able to play those back than Rob wants to say, but he's got more numbers than I do, so perhaps he has more information. So I do agree with him that it's probably not worth the risk to have audience members that can't see what you're doing. Okay, next thing is, let's talk about codecs. Codecs are the set of computer instructions that say how to compress the file and how to decompress the file. Compress, C-O, M-P-R-E-S-S, decompress, D-E-C, O-M-P-R-E-S-S, co, short for codec, compress, dec, short for decompress, codec. So it's the set of instructions that tell the computer how to compress and decompress this. Some codecs are better for editing, and some codecs are better for delivery. When we're talking video, well, let's back up just a second. Don't use Ogg Vorbis, Ogg Theora. I know they're open source and aren't encumbered by copyrights and stuff like that. I get that. But they're just not as easy to get on the audience side. So don't use those kinds of things on the audio side. Don't use AIFF or WAVE for your final delivery. Your final delivery needs to be an MP3. There was a time when M4A files were okay, but they're really coming out of vogue since Apple quit supporting them. So I would also say don't use those as well. So what that means is that what you want to do is you want to deliver an MP3 for audio, and for video you want to deliver a QuickTime using H.264 as your codec. H.264 will give you a smaller file size that isn't as easy to edit, but what that smaller file size does is it gives you First off, almost everything can play them. Secondly, it gives you a smaller file size, so that saves you money. So it's a win-win. So that's why for a video podcast, we tend to deliver an H.264 QuickTime file. And you can also think of some of the things that I've talked about earlier with audio. Think about that in video. So in video, we have how many frames per second something is recorded in. The more frames per second, the more natural the motion is. So that's why video game people really care if they're getting 60 frames, 120 frames. More frames per second means it's going to be more realistic, because that's analogous to how many samples you take per second, right? More frames per second is similar to how many samples per second in audio. So more is going to give you more faithful reproduction. So 5 frames per second is going to be very staggery. 30 frames is going to be fairly natural. 60, particularly nice. 120, probably overkill. Unless you're doing a video game podcast, which is like a screencast kind of thing. But even then, someone doesn't have to make as many decisions as quickly when they're watching as when they're playing. So it's still probably a little overkill. So that is frame rate. Now, resolution, how many lines of vertical resolution is what it's normally measured in. So in this case, this video podcast that you're watching is 320p. What that means is there are 320 lines vertically that show what I'm showing. And it's 16 by 9, so it's 640 wide by 360 tall. Now, that's a quarter of 720p resolution. And you might be thinking, well, isn't 360 one half of 720? Yes, but it's both vertical and horizontal. So it's half vertically and half horizontally, so it's one quarter. So you see how the more lines that you use to represent a picture, that's similar to what we were talking about here in sample rate just a few minutes ago. So it's going to give you a more accurate representation. But think about this. When someone is watching something on the internet, and they're not watching it full screen, they're just watching it in a video in a window, do they need 1080p? Do they need 4K? Probably not. Now, if they're watching it on their television, 1080p would be great. So it depends on how your audience is interacting with your content as to what is better. So that's basically the difference between these. Now, there are different ways to get these different codecs. There are different ways to use software to compress things. And what I use typically is I typically use either Compressor, which is something that Apple put out. It's a professional product. And if you don't have a Mac, you can't use it because Apple wrote it specifically for their hardware. Or I also use things like, let me take a look at what's down here in my dock. I'm blanking on it. I use Handbrake. I use MPEG Stream Clip. Those are both free. And they can transcode from recording files to better for delivery files. So those are a couple of things to do there. And we will talk about why I think that iTunes is absolutely indispensable for podcasts right after this. Tech Help for Churches and all the churchtechcast.com podcasts are generously provided for by viewers like you. Thank you. Head over to patreon.com/paulallencliff. That's patreon.com/paulalanclif, and you can support the show for as little as $1 a month or upwards of $100 a month, and many levels in between. Each level has more perks, so head over and see which fits your budget today. Thank you. A lot of people have a love-hate relationship with iTunes, and I understand. On a PC, Apple kind of created this as an afterthought almost, and so it's really not so much good, but there is something that you need to know about it, and that is the podcast directory in iTunes is by far the most likely way that people will find your podcast. It just is. I don't make this up. I just tell you about it. And that's the way that it's been since May of 2005 when Apple announced that they were going to start supporting podcasting. And it looks like they're not dropping support. In fact, it looks like they're doubling down on support. In fact, what reports say is that the new version of iOS, iOS 8, which is the operating system for iPads and iPhones, is going to come with a default it's a default podcast viewer. So that'll just be in there. You won't have to decide to download it. That's just the way it is. So if you're not in iTunes with your podcast, you're missing a trick. So I have submitted nearly all my shows to iTunes. I'm having trouble with one of my feeds that I'm going to have to iron out here soon. But I've submitted nearly all my podcasts to iTunes to prepare for this, because if you're in the iTunes directory, that's the largest way that you're going to be found. So I want to encourage you to do that. So you'll see if you go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/iTunes reviews, which if you subscribe to this show and haven't left a review, please do. If you go over there, you'll see that I've got feeds for 4 audio shows. That's Tech Help for Churches, Eternity Changers, Technobabble, and the Q&A show. I've got the feeds for all those in audio format. I've got the feeds for all those in video format, plus the screencast show, because it doesn't make any sense for the screencast show, which is primarily visual, to be audio only. So I've got feeds for 9 shows, plus 2 additional feeds. I've got a every single video feed and an every single audio feed. So those are the feeds that I have in iTunes. So that's 11 feeds. Why do I go through the trouble to do that? It's very simple. That's where most people are going to find your show. If they don't find it through you directly, they're going to find it in iTunes. Now, you should still provide feeds for people that are on Android devices, people that subscribe in other ways, but the iTunes feed is essential. Love it or hate it, it's essential that you get it out there to increase your audience. Now, iTunes can do some other things, and one thing that it can do is it can be your audio encoder. So you can set it up where you export an AIFF, A-I-F-F, or you export a WAV from your editing software, and then you bring it into iTunes and you create your MP3 right there. Right now, that's the way I do it. It's not necessarily the best way, but it is the way that it works. You can also use iTunes as an ID3 tag editor. Again, maybe not the best way, but it does work. And to export, there's a create another version dialog in iTunes. I think it's file, create new version, and then under that you can create an MP3 if you've got it set up correctly. There's also if you hold down Command and then I, or Control I on a PC, Command I is Mac, Control I PC, that will give you all the information about that particular file. And if you go through and you change it, then that will update the ID3 tags. What are ID3 tags? They're the information that lives inside the file itself about the title, the artist, the publication date, show notes, all those things. Even album art can live inside the MP3 file. So you want to update that. One of my favorite podcasts, they really need to work on their ID3 tags. Some of my video podcasts, because of how I'm hosting them, still I have kind of the same problem. So it's not a trivial thing to do to figure this out. And so I would like to suggest to you that you figure out what's going on with your ID3 tags and set them up either with an ID3 tag editor or you can use iTunes. And while that may not be the best way, it's a better way than doing nothing at all. So I suggest that, again, that's what you do. And so it's not the case that you can get by without using iTunes if you have a podcast, but you should at least get your feed submitted to iTunes so that it's in the directory of, it's in the most popular podcast directory once you do that. And some smaller podcast directories just parrot what they see in iTunes, so you're actually submitting to more than one directory when you do that. Do you have to use it as an editor? No. Do you have to use it to encode? No. Do you have to use it to edit your ID3 tags? No. But those are all things that iTunes can do. And they're things that are helpful to you as a podcaster if you don't have other software to do that. So, if you've enjoyed this show, please share it with your friends. If you haven't subscribed, you can subscribe for free and get new updates every time this show is released, either in YouTube or go to trinitydigitalmedia.com/subscribe, and you can do that as well. I hope that that's helped you, and I hope that it helps you use this technology, new media, podcasting, to go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.